We come now, brethren, to the preaching of God's Word, and so I invite you to open your Bibles this morning to the book of Romans and the fourth chapter, the book of Romans and the fourth chapter, and I will be reading and then preaching on verses 16 through 25, Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 25. Let us hear God's word. Here Paul writes, "That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations,' in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he, Abraham, believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he has been told, 'So shall your offspring be.' He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, nor when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words 'it was counted to him' were written, not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised up from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." Let's pray. Our God and Father, again, we thank you for this time together as your people, and we would ask now for your power on the preached word, that as the word of God goes forth, the Holy Spirit would do that work that only he can do, and open our eyes to these passages so that we can understand them and so that we can apply them to our own lives in such a way that you are honored and the Lord Jesus Christ is glorified. For we ask these things this morning in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. Brethren, we have been considering over the past 2 weeks the example of Abraham as a man who possessed the kind of faith that God is pleased to count for righteousness. For when Abraham heard the promises that God made to him to make him the heir of the entire world and the spiritual father of all who believe unto righteousness, Abraham, we're told, believed God rather than trusting in himself, rather than relying upon his own righteousness. Furthermore, when Abraham received God's command to be physically circumcised in Genesis 17 as a sign of the covenant between God and him, Abraham freely obeyed God, and not out of any attempt to win or to merit God's approval, but out of that same faith that he had received as a gift from God and that enabled him as a sinner to lay hold of that righteousness that is freely given to everyone who believes. For Abraham's entire spiritual journey, from the time that God declared Abraham righteous to the time that Abraham was circumcised, and as we'll see this morning, for the entire time that Abraham waited for the birth of his physical offspring, Abraham lived by faith. He lived by faith. And in doing so, Abraham left some giant footsteps for you and I as believers of like faith to follow in. For as Paul stated in verses 11 and 12 of this chapter, which we looked at in a prior week, God's purpose in declaring Abraham righteous was to make him the father of all true believers, whether they be Jews or whether they be Gentiles, who walk in the footsteps of the faith that Abraham possessed before he was circumcised. And this is the kind of faith that you and I, as the people of God, walk in today as well. And here in our text this morning, Romans chapter 4 and verses 16 through 25, Paul continues his discussion of Abraham's experience of faith and what that faith actually produced in Abraham's life. Because the faith that justifies us, that faith that makes us righteous in God's sight, is not alone. It is not alone. But it also enables us to persevere, to wait for the glorious fulfillment of God's promises to us. For along with the promise, God gives us the faith, God gives us the grace to hold fast. And of course, Paul begins here in verse 16 by reminding us that everything that he has stated thus far regarding the way in which righteousness is bestowed depends on faith. Everything depends on faith. In fact, if we leave any room for works righteousness, if we leave any room for arrogant boasting in the matter of justification, then we have undermined the grace of the gospel entirely. And we have undermined the truth regarding what God promised to Abraham and to his offspring. For Paul writes here in verse 16 of Romans chapter 4, this is why it depends on faith, or that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. For again, Paul wants you and I to understand that everything that transpired with Abraham was not in response to his works. It was not in response to his law keeping, but it was rooted, it was resting in the graciousness of God. It was God's grace that was at work. It was God who was pleased to not only justify Abraham on the basis of faith alone, but who also promised to bless all of Abraham's spiritual descendants as well, if they, like Abraham, lived and walked by the same faith that he did. And so rather than teaching, as the adherents of the law did, that faith alone was not enough and not sufficient to justify, Paul insists here in verse 16 that everything depends upon it. Everything depends upon it. For without the gift of faith, Abraham would not have been declared righteous, nor would Abraham have seen the fulfillment of God's promises. And without the gift of faith, you and I cannot be justified either. For under grace, faith in Jesus Christ is essential. And to prove that faith is absolutely essential under grace, Paul draws our attention here in the beginning of verse 17 of Romans 4 to the gracious way that God called Abraham to faith in the promise in the first place. For Paul quotes from Genesis 17 and verse 5, where God declared to Abraham, "I have made you the father of many nations." I have made you the father of many nations. And of course, the amazing thing about that promise, if you'll think about it, is that God spoke to Abraham as if the promise had already been fulfilled, although Abraham had yet to see his physical offspring. And no doubt God drew out the faith of Abraham in this way, speaking as though these things had already happened, to show that it was all by grace, for Abraham's faith was an evidence of God's grace in his life. Abraham's faith was an evidence of what God was doing for his own glory. For Paul declares here in the rest of verse 17 of Romans chapter 4 that Abraham heard this promise. He heard this promise, I have made you a great nation. In the presence of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and who calls into existence the things that do not exist. And therefore, what characterized Abraham's response to the promise that God made to him was not anything that Abraham did, because Abraham understood that he was nothing, and that he had no power to bring about the things that God had decreed would happen. But Abraham, Paul declares here in verse 17, recognized that he was in the presence of God when he heard these things. That's significant. He recognized that he was in the presence of God when he heard these things, that it was God who was speaking, and he believed God, the text says, knowing that God can give life to the dead. And remember, there's a sense in which Abraham is already dead. He's almost 100 years old, according to our text. And Abraham knew that God could call into existence the things that did not yet exist. And so when Abraham heard God's promises to him, he did not think that such things were impossible. Nor did Abraham doubt that God was capable of making him a physical father and the spiritual father of all who have the same faith that he did. Abraham believed God in all of it, meaning that he not only received what God said intellectually, which human wisdom would have tried to dismiss, but Abraham willingly embraced, Abraham willingly received all that God said as being true and reliable and trustworthy. For Abraham rested in what God said rather than focusing on what his eyes saw. And what his eyes saw was Sarah's barrenness and the fact that he was still without a physical heir. In fact, Paul describes for us the response of Abraham's faith here in verse 18 of Romans chapter 4 when he writes these words. He writes that in hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations as he had been told by God, so shall your offspring be. And of course, in saying this about Abraham's faith, Paul gives us some great insight here this morning into the type of faith that God delights in, the kind of faith that God is very pleased to count to us as righteousness. For the kind of faith that justifies is the kind of faith, note this, that does not lose hope. The kind of faith that does not lose hope. It is the kind of faith that believes God even when this fallen world and even when our individual circumstances suggest that things are hopeless. It is the kind of living faith that Paul says believes against hope. And that's a really intriguing, a really interesting statement. What does Paul mean by these words, believed against hope? Well, Paul is simply saying here that the type of hope that accompanies justifying faith is not like the hope that the world speaks of. For the world has its own form of hope that relies upon the senses and that is grounded in the limits of human logic and human reason. And yet natural or worldly hope fails in the face of what seems on the surface to be humanly impossible to accomplish. And certainly from a human, from a worldly standpoint, the promise that God gave to Abraham, an elderly man with no male heir, who was roaming around like a nomad through the wilderness of Canaan, seemed utterly hopeless. And no doubt this is what Abraham was tempted to think as well as he waited year after year for what God promised. And yet Paul declares to us here in verse 18 that Abraham's faith enabled him to believe against such a limited and sensual hope and to express true biblical hope which is confident of God's power and the steadfastness of His promises. For biblical hope is able to withstand. Biblical hope is able to endure the kinds of doubts and fears that unbelievers cave in under, because it is rooted and grounded in God's faithfulness. And notice that Paul gives us an example here in verse 19 of Romans 4 of how justifying faith, accompanied by a true biblical hope, sustained our father Abraham even when it seemed hopeless from a human standpoint. For Paul writes here in verse 19, he, Abraham, did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. And so here Paul clearly reveals that there were times when Abraham considered the age and the frailty of his own body. And no doubt human reason sought to convince Abraham that a man who was about 100 years old could never begin a family. That a man who was about 100 years old could never become the spiritual father of a great multitude. And there were times, we're told by this text, when Abraham looked upon his elderly wife Sarah, and he considered the barrenness of her womb, and no doubt unbelief tried to persuade Abraham that she would never give birth. Because how could she possibly endure the physical demands of childbirth at her very advanced age? I mean, think of those circumstances. Think about how humanly impossible this really seemed to be. And yet, Paul declares here in verse 19 that Abraham did not weaken in faith. He did not weaken in faith. And of course, the reason that he did not weaken in faith rested in the power of God upon his life and not in Abraham's resolve to be faithful. For being a mere human being, Abraham's resolve would have failed at any moment. But the grace of God that supplied and sustained the strength of his faith did not diminish. The grace of God did not cease to operate in Abraham's life. And of course, brethren, this is good news for us who follow in the footsteps of Abraham as well. For doubtless, there will be times in our own spiritual journeys when the way forward, when the way to finding fulfillment in the certainty of God's promises to us seems unclear. There will be times when we are tempted to question whether we have the resources to hope and to endure much further. For as we consider our own frailty and our own weaknesses, we are tempted to lose heart. And as we wrestle with the doubts and fears that often attack us, we begin to wonder if we'll prevail at all. And yet this experience that Paul relates to us from the life of Abraham should be a great encouragement to us. For the story does not end with Abraham giving in to doubt and despair. The story does not end with Abraham falling short of receiving what God had promised to him, but rather, the story continues by the grace of God with Abraham remaining firm and steadfast in his faith. For Paul states here in verse 20 of Romans chapter 4 that no unbelief made Abraham waver concerning the promise of God. Because the hope that Abraham had, the hope that God gave to Abraham as a fruit of his justifying faith, held steadfast. And be assured, dear believer in Christ this morning, that your hope, the hope that accompanies your faith, will not waver either. For whatever you are going through in your spiritual journey, God stands as a fortress for your hope. And regardless of what the forces of unbelief throw at you, your hope in God cannot be extinguished as long as the Holy Spirit is indwelling you. So, dear believer, take heart. For what God did to keep unbelief from uprooting and unsettling the faith and hope of our father Abraham, God will do for you as well. He will do it in such a way that you will not only survive this experience, you will not only come through it alive and well, but you will benefit from it spiritually. You will. How do we know this? Well, we know this because this was Abraham's experience also. For Paul goes on to state here in verses 20 and 21 of Romans 4 that Abraham not only stood firm in his faith rather than wavering, but he also grew strong in his faith. Notice that from the text. He grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. For what seemed certain from a human standpoint to make Abraham waver, God in His wisdom used to make Abraham spiritually stronger. Furthermore, what seemed like an occasion to despair, not knowing whether God's promises would be fulfilled, actually became an occasion for Abraham to give all the glory to God, for Abraham to be reassured that God is truly able to do what he promised. And of course, this is the path that often unfolds for those who walk in the same faith that Abraham had. For what we often experience that seems so difficult, that seems so impossible, is intended to work within us something that we cannot see. And that is greater faith in God. And the reason that things happen to us is not always evident at first. It was not painfully and plainly evident to Abraham either. And yet we can be confident that God is at work. We can be confident that God is promoting His own glory through us. In fact, all of us can be assured this morning that what God is doing within our individual lives, what God is doing collectively in our life as a church, is intended to bring the same spiritual blessings that God gave to our father Abraham, and that is a stronger faith. A stronger faith, a greater and clearer vision of the glory of God, and the full confidence that God is able to do what He promised to do for us through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so by summarizing for us here the experience of Abraham, Paul is not only giving us an excellent lesson in theology and an excellent lesson about justification and the nature of justifying faith, but he's also giving us a very practical lesson in Christian living, which should lead all of us to praise and to doxology. For the faith that justifies us, the faith that makes us righteous before God, is at its very root unwavering. It's unbending, and it produces within us a hope that cannot be deterred. And I wonder this morning if each of you listening to this sermon know what it is to experience these spiritual realities that Paul is presenting here in this text of Scripture. For to be without the faith that Abraham possessed, the faith that God is describing here in Romans 4, is to be without stability. To be without the kind of faith that Abraham possessed is to be without hope. And I hope that God will deliver you soon, if you are outside of that hope, from that confusing state. Because life doesn't have to be so confusing. We all need to hear that this morning. Life doesn't have to be so confusing. And being right with God, having a righteous standing with God, is not something that we should be confused about either. For as I stated last week, it's easy to make the Christian life much more complicated than it really is. It's far too easy in our fallenness, in our fallen natures, to trust in our own works, although they gain us absolutely nothing. And it is to our harm, it is to our spiritual detriment that we try to justify ourselves rather than seeking the one who freely justifies the ungodly. But the experience of Abraham shows us a better way. Let us see that this morning. There's a much better way here. The way of justifying faith. The kind of faith that simply believes God. It doesn't try to complicate things. It doesn't try to figure out things. It simply believes God. The kind of faith that is convinced that God can and God will do what He's promised to do through Christ. The kind of faith that believes against hope. The kind of faith that does not waver. The kind of faith that is not shaken in the face of difficulties and uncertainties, because this is the kind of faith that God gave to Abraham. This is the kind of faith that Abraham lived by. And this is the kind of faith you and I should have by God's grace as well. And of course, this is why Paul states here in verse 22 of Romans 4 that Abraham's faith was counted to him as righteousness. For what God saw in the faith of Abraham was that which Christ had merited for him, and what God Himself had given to Abraham through grace. And because Abraham's faith had reference to the work of Christ, and it rested in the future merits of Christ, God was pleased to count Abraham's faith for what Abraham could never have produced on his own. And that is a righteousness that could withstand the scrutiny of God's justice, and a righteousness that meets God's own standard of perfection. And yet, what's most encouraging for us in what God did for Abraham this morning is Paul's assurance. Notice this, Paul's assurance in verses 23 through 25 that God will do the same for those who believe, just as Abraham did. For Paul writes here in verses 23 through 25, "But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone," but notice this, "but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification." And of course, in writing this, Paul not only affirms that God fulfilled His promise to Abraham using Abraham's example for our spiritual benefit, but he also shares with us that we have certain things in common with Abraham as well. What do we have in common with Abraham based on these passages? Well, Matthew Henry in his commentary stresses that we have two things in common. And I want to mention these because I think they're very helpful. First, like Abraham, you and I are only counted righteous through God's work of imputation. Through God's work of imputation, imputing righteousness to us through His Son. God crediting to us the righteousness that we sorely need. For the work of imputation is the work of the Father. It's the work of the Father, whereas the righteousness that is imputed to us freely has been obtained through the work of the Son. And so in this sense, we've all been given a common privilege. A common privilege from God. Then secondly, Matthew Henry notes that we have a common duty. We have a common duty. And that duty is the same duty that our father Abraham had. And that duty is to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ intelligently and willfully. Intelligently and willfully. Intelligently in that we recognize who Christ is. Who is He? The text tells us He is the one that God has raised from the dead. And willfully, exercising our will, in that we come to Him as the only one who can deliver us from our trespasses, as the only one who can justify us by His victory over death. For a faith that fails to see Christ in these ways is a faith that cannot justify. But a faith like Abraham had, a faith that Christ praised in John chapter 8 and verse 56 when He said that Abraham desired to see My day, is a faith that God will surely count as righteousness. So therefore, may God be pleased to give us such a faith this morning if He has not already. And if we have received such a faith by grace and as a free gift, may we walk in it. May we walk in it daily. May we live by it daily to the glory and to the praise of Almighty God. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified through the preaching of the Word this morning. Let's pray. Our God and Father, how we thank You for Your faithfulness to us and how we thank You for Your Word. And we ask now that Your Spirit would apply the Word that we've heard today to our hearts in such a way that we would sense our need of the Lord Jesus Christ and that we would exercise not only our intelligence but our will by Your grace to receive Christ today. Father, if there's someone here today who is outside of grace, who is outside of hope, who is outside of Christ, I pray that You would grant them faith and repentance today as they hear about the example of Abraham and as they believe by the grace of God. And if we are believers like our father Abraham, may You help us to live and to walk by faith today, that our faith would not waver, that we would believe against hope, regardless of whatever circumstances that we're facing, so that our faith might be strengthened, that we might give glory to God, so that we might rejoice in all the good things that God is doing in our lives. Help us in these respects, we pray. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.